And then I got the job at the senior center, and I actually was hired as the development director under a grant. And the grant goal was to have someone come in the role of foundation development, fund development, donor development. Ultimately, when a position came open for the manager position, I took that hat as well and put that one on.
Mm-hmm. The nonprofit world is usually one where multiple hats are necessary. And I'm going to guess from what you're saying, just what I know about the senior center, it's a small staff.
Yes, very small staff. Nine, to be exact. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's so much to do and so few hands that you have to do a little bit of everything mm-hmm. as director.
Correct. And as most nonprofits go, we rely heavily on our volunteers. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, we have anywhere between 50 and 60 active, semi-active volunteers that help us out at the mm-hmm. senior center as well.
And you say you've had a life experience with social work. Give Correct. Us a little bit more deeper dive into that background.
Well, no matter where I've worked, whether it's been with adults, children, families, my life philosophy takes me to the place of a strong belief that given the right circumstances and environmental protections and opportunities, that people can make better choices for themselves and they can find the support that they need to find their own inner healing. Mm-hmm. So in that social work, it's really about social workers, if you know anything about social work, really believe in systems development, mm-hmm. taking a look at the environment, the systems that are contributing to whatever is happening in someone's world. And I love analyzing that and pulling that apart, and I enjoy people.
Yeah. And you've been at Sandpoint a long time.
Well, I've been back mm-hmm. almost 14 years. Yeah. So I've been here, away, and back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We often ask people, mostly who are new-ish, what their Long Bridge moment was. You probably had a couple of them.
I have had that several times, actually. In fact, many years ago, I used to have a T-shirt when I lived here in the 80s, early 80s. And the T-shirt reads with a tree of life picture, and all around the picture, the words, Sandpoint, Idaho, the point of many returns. And I've sort of lived by that.
I like that. We should resurrect that shirt or something.
I agree. I've tried a couple of times. I'm not great at graphics, though.
Well, let's turn to the Sandpoint Area Senior Center. It serves such a vital role. And it still amazes me, though, when talking about it occasionally in town, people go, I didn't know we had one.
Yeah.
Tell us more about it.
Well, the senior center itself has been around for 50 years, mostly in that location, serving the aging community. And as such, as you can imagine, the history is rich. I couldn't even begin to recount the amount of people who've been in charge, who utilized the senior center. The voices, the historians are wide and varied. But basically what we do and what we've done all along is, in some form or another, create a community for the aging population. And doing so through nutrition is the primary resource. But social connection is equally as important. And if you know anything about the aging world and what contributes to healthy aging, there are 10 major factors, but the top four include nutrition, access to good medical care, housing. But number four is connection. Mm-hmm. And so between the nutrition and the connections that we help people make around breaking bread together and also making sure that food gets into people's homes who need it and can't take care of their own nutritional needs, we're meeting those needs in this community.
It seems like really those needs are lifelong needs, but our senior population is more at risk of losing their connections for those.
Yes, indeed. People move to Sandpoint for all sorts of reasons, as you know. And so if someone finds themselves here, maybe they came as a couple to follow grandchildren or as a retirement dream. Oftentimes people find themselves alone for one reason or another, through death or separation mm-hmm. or illness. And one of the things that I hear fairly often in this community and at the senior center is that it's difficult to find your people when you're older. And if you don't automatically belong to a social organization, be it through a religious organization or some sort of recreational activity or hobbies, it is difficult to find your place at this age, kind of starting over, if you will.
Yeah, making new connections is never easy, but especially as we age, just physically harder to get out and do those things.
Right, yeah.
So tell us more about the population you serve. It's the Sandpoint senior areas, but really there are folks who come in from outside the city. And give us a sense of the geographic range, the age range. Who is the service population?
Well, anyone 55 and above is welcome to access our services, technically. But I will go so far as to say that we are a community that welcomes all. Mm-hmm. Our demographic is anything from someone who has just moved here and, you know, our socioeconomic spectrum is as wide as the community. We have people who have been part of starting banks in this town, successful businesses, and people who access all sorts of social services as well.
So it's not just those who are in financial need.
Correct. Absolutely. And I think it's important. I'm glad you bring that up, Phil. You know, when I was hired there, I've told this story before, but I got the call and I went on the website and I took a look at, so what does the senior center do, which I'll share with you a few other things that we do apart from just the nutrition. But the very first thing that I read is serving those 60 and above primarily. I happen to be over 60, and that was when I realized that I'm a senior.
Yeah.
Right? It's when
that
you
aha moment.
Are that, right?
Yeah.
It was a bit of a slap in the face at first. Yeah. But one of the things that I have been really doing a deep dive into is what it means to age at this stage of our lives. We spend billions as a society, our culture, the United States, we spend thousands and thousands upon millions of dollars on anti-aging products, right? Fighting the side effects, if you will, of aging. We avoid it. We don't like to think about it. And the amount of times that I've met people in my same age cohort and above who say, I'm not old enough to go to the senior center, I've gotten to the point where I sort of just chuckle and say, well, yes, you are. I mean, I can see that. I'm not going to out you for your age. But the goal, my goal for the community perception about the senior center is that it's for everyone in the aging community, for whatever your needs. I just showed some folks around yesterday who we have one of the nicest pool tables actually at the senior center, beautiful wood, well-tuned pool table that's used by a few folks who have some pool tournaments. And the conversation always returns to, hey, come and join us for lunch sometime here at the senior center. And when I get the, well, I'm not old enough, if I'm lucky enough to have them there at lunchtime, I say, look around. Who do you see? Do you see your age cohort here? Absolutely.
So it is a wide range of ages. It's not just people who are debilitated.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Very active. I spent Saturday morning with a group of folks who are runners, and there was an annual celebration happening there. And I looked around the room, and they were 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s. And it's the same way at the senior center. You see people in every age cohort. Mm-hmm. Again, Phil, it's about connection.
So it seems, and we're dancing around a little bit to it, so let's just cut right to it. There's a stigma associated sometimes with folks going to a senior center. It labels them in some way.
Right.
How do we overcome that?
Well, I think what people will find if they just come for lunch or they come for dance lessons, we do ballroom dancing and art classes. When you relax into looking around and accepting this whole concept of aging, you begin to see that the senior center has much more to offer. I spent a few years working with and talking to a Native American who has a keen, I guess, commitment to helping people understand what it is to be taking care of elders in the community. And at the senior center, I spend just about every day that I'm there getting at least one story from what I consider to be an elder in the community. Those stories are amazing, wonderful to hear. And so I think we combat it by stepping past our fears and really stepping into what does it mean to be aging in our community.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, I'd like to get a better sense of how many you serve. What's the volume like, for lack of a better way of putting it? We hate to just count people.
But, yeah, I wish I had a raw number, and we try that every once in a while. We have those who drop in for one or two activities. We have those who come every day. To give you an idea of just our meal program alone, anywhere from 25 to 60 people will attend lunch at the senior center. And just to be really frank, if it's a day when we're having prime rib or salmon or something that people really like, the seats get filled. We do have an amazing chef. Shout out to Brenda, who's our chef at the senior center. The meals are wonderful and nutritious. So that's just there. Then we have groups of bridge players and pinochle players. Some of those groups are anywhere from 8 to 16. We have fitness classes. Those fitness classes, 16 to 30, depending on the day. Chair yoga, right? So the activities, when you start adding up those numbers, figuring out who's a repeat performer and who is somebody who's brand new, my guess would be somewhere in the range of a couple hundred. We also serve around 50 home-delivered meals. And if I might just say a few words about our home-delivered meal program, one of the misconceptions that I had about home-delivered meals was that, we serve 60 and over. That's the age cohort. But the only, the only prerequisite, if you will, for getting a home-delivered meal is just letting us know that you have difficulty getting out to get your food, or you have a difficult time preparing your own food. There's absolutely no financial limitation around that. We want to make sure that anyone in the aging community who's struggling with getting their own meals made, that we can deliver a meal to them in their home.
So I want to come back and run through the range of activities and services in a little more detail. But what I'm hearing is, and I think an important point is, that the cost for the meals and the programs.
So they're free.
Yes.
Right. So the meals, our recommended donation is $7. However, if you can't pay it, you can come in and you can have a meal at the senior center. And we have a wide range of people, some mm-hmm. who pay more than that donation amount, and some who pay less or none.
Yeah, I was going to say $7 for a nice salmon, you can hardly get one to swim by you for that.
Right, exactly. And occasionally, if there is an art class that has supplies, maybe a nominal fee to cover the supplies, and some of the card groups have everyone drop in a dollar or two so that they can mm-hmm. share the winnings, you know, those sorts of things.
Where does your funding come from?
That's a great question. So for the food program, the Area Agency on Aging supports a portion of those meals that we serve. And we have some very strict guidelines around that, which is why when somebody comes in for a meal, we do ask them to give us their name and some demographic information, simply so that we can report to the Area Agency on Aging. But that covers roughly $4 to $5 of what really costs about $12 between staffing and food and mm-hmm. and all of that to make a meal. All the rest of it, grants and fundraising.
Mm-hmm. How do you plan? How do you know how many people are going to drop in for lunch? Or is it simply a good guess?
Well, there are some days that we know will be a little bit bigger than others, particularly in the on-site meals. Monday mm-hmm. tends to be a little bit slower. But what we ask is that if you are going to have a meal at the senior center, is that you call at least by 9:30 in the morning so that the chef can gauge. Some of our bigger days, we have a big holiday meal coming up this Thursday, and we ask for people to make reservations for that because we fill up beyond capacity for some of those events.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think we've maybe taken as a given, folks know the location.
820 Main Street.
So just west of downtown.
Correct.
And we are a walking town, and so you probably get some people walking in.
A few, yeah. But we're also a stop mm-hmm. for the spot bus.
I was going to say, the spot bus mm-hmm. probably brings a lot of people because the age range and the demographics we're looking at, some folks are still driving, but a lot of seniors aren't.
Yeah.
And so they've got friends, family that are dropping them off, maybe accompanying them?
Many times they're accompanying them as well. We have people who actually come in from Sagal, come in from Priest River, from other parts of that. We serve the entire county, of course. Okay. There is a senior center in Clark Fork, and shout out to our friends in Clark Fork, because they do have a couple of days a week that they serve meals at their program.
And is there one over in Priest River?
There is not. Well, there is a senior center, actually, but they don't serve meals. And interesting that you mention that, because we used to serve the Priest River area for home-delivered meals. The difficulty we have, and we're working very hard to overcome that barrier, is we need volunteers to deliver those meals. So if anyone's listening out there in Priest River, give us a shout. We're one or two steps away from recouping that area after losing them for a little while. And Area Agency on Aging has our full support in getting the Priest River area back.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty wide geographic range that you can reach out to through the home delivery and that you see people coming in from.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So the meal sounds like a natural draw. People come for that and stay then for other activities, or maybe they come in because they hear about some of the other activities. Run us through what a typical day looks like,
sure,
if there is such a one.
Well, you know, if I asked, it depends on who I ask at the senior center. I was just thinking about our administrative assistant, Ari. She would tell you what her day is like, which is taking calls. We also have a medical equipment lending program. Mm-hmm. And so free to the public, no bearing on age. If someone needs a piece of medical equipment for any reason, and we happen to have it at the senior center, we have a small storage area where we keep wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and basic, very basic medical equipment. Calls for the online, or for the, not online, but for the medical equipment lending come frequently. We have people drop off and donate, and then we also have those who are picking up. Beginning first thing in the morning, you're going to start smelling the lunch being prepared. And so groups of Monday, say, is the bunco group. They'll be allowed, and pardon me, bunco players, but a very raucous group of people who show up at 9:30 in the morning to play bunco together. They are the group that laughs the loudest and seems to have the most fun there. We start lunch at 11:30. That goes until after 12 o'clock-ish, 12:15. And oftentimes the activities for the afternoon begin then, whether it's a group who are knitting or doing an art class, felting. Our exercise classes tend to be either morning, chair yoga starts in the morning, and an afternoon class, and so does our Fit and Fall Proof class. And I can't say enough about the Fit and Fall Proof class. There are people who say that since they've begun that class, issues of balance and really a fall at our age, whether you're 60 or 90, can be the kiss of slowness, not necessarily the kiss of death, but it can slow us down quite a bit.
It is one of the leading contributions to death.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
So it generally opening up around 9 then, it sounds
we
like?
We open at 8.
8, okay. And then what time in the afternoon?
So Monday through Thursday, 8 to 3.
8 to 3.
And then on Friday, we do close at noon. But we also have a building that's available for the community to reserve space. It's a rather large space. We've had memorials, I think a wedding or two, family events. There was a family actually that rented it for Thanksgiving. So for a pretty nominal fee, the private sector can rent the entire hall or a conference room or our annex for meeting spaces.
That's a separate building, the annex, of course.
The annex is a separate building. It's the old Daybreak building. People who are in the community have been around for a while know what the Daybreak building is.
So the main hall is available for rental, it sounds like, weekends.
Weekends and evenings, correct. We do have activities in the evenings, but if we have availability, we certainly make ourselves available to the community. And I guess that, Phil, is the part that has been a sliver of my mission, is to just make sure that people know we're there and get them to come in for other kinds of activities that are multi-generational so that they can see that it is a beautiful space and welcoming to all.
Mm-hmm. And, so we're going to take a short music break here and do our avalanche forecast. Then we're going to come back more and find out about an upcoming, we'll talk a little more, and we'll find out also about an upcoming holiday concert you have going on.
All right.
So if you've just tuned in this morning, we are on the morning show here talking with Lisa Bond, who's the director at the Sandpoint Area Seniors, the Senior Center. And right now we're going to we're going to introduce a new feature on KRFY. The Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center is up and running for the winter doing their avalanche forecasts, I think most every day during the midweek. The intention here is to play it on the station just before Democracy Now! Begins, so just before 7 a.m. So for this week and maybe next week, we are going to be featuring it on the morning show to give you a flavor of what happens with the avalanche forecast. This one was produced for today, so it's very timely. It runs a little over a minute. We're going to take a listen to the forecast and then move into a little bit of John Prine. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with more about the Sandpoint Area Senior Center. John Prine, crazy as a loon. If you've just tuned in, this is 88.5 FM KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. You've tuned in to the Tuesday morning show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and with me today is Lisa Bond from the Sandpoint Area Seniors, the Sandpoint Senior Center. And we're back just kind of unpacking all of the various resources. Who knew there was so much going on? How vital a place it is.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks for having me.
You're going to have to, I'm over 60 now. I'm going to have to stop by and check it out. I never thought of that.
I was just going to say, Phil, when are you coming for lunch?
Yeah. Someday, probably in the next week or two, I'll
nice.
Come check it out.
Nice.
Just to see.
We'd love to have you.
When's the next prime rib?
This Thursday, but unfortunately we're full.
Yeah, that's a big day, it sounds yeah, like.
Right.
Well, next week's we got holiday. Maybe the first Thursday of the year.
Well, I tell you what, we have a menu that we put out a month in advance, and we get newsletters out to everyone. So if anyone who's interested in receiving a newsletter, you go on to our webpage at sandpointareaseniors.org and request that we send you a newsletter, or we can just have you call 208-263-6860 to the Senior Center, and our administrative assistant, Ari, will get you on the list.
Excellent. And do you post that up daily or weekly on the website as well?
Absolutely. There is a monthly menu that's there.
Okay. So you can go check it out. Phone in your reservations by 9.
Yep. And that's where you can also find a detailed list of all of our activities that are taking place at the Senior Center.
So tell us what's happening over the holidays. Does that change the schedule? It must change the schedule some.
We are closed Christmas Day. So the 25th, 26th, and 27th, we will be closed. So join us again after the holidays. We will only be closed for New Year's Day the following week.
Okay.
So come and join us for any meals next week in the coming year, 2025.
So Christmas through the weekend closed, New Year's Day closed, and then back open.
Back at it.
Right at it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, the coming year, what does it hold?
Well, it'll be a big year for us. We, first, a shout out to the community for their amazing support. We just had a Fill the Gap campaign because we were approaching falling short for the year. And so donors came in, and donations from $5,000 to $5,000 to $20,000. It was very helpful in keeping the doors open. But as you know, as a nonprofit, and I know KRFY is very familiar with this, the fundraising game is always on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have, of course, our holiday letter campaign that's gone out this year. But in 2025, it will be the same. We live in a community with an extremely, well, not extremely, but quite a bit more nonprofits than your average area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact percentage. One time I heard a third more than the national average, somewhere in that range. What that means, in effect, is we are all competing for the same resources, the same volunteers. I would encourage anyone who's thinking about volunteering to think about your own passions and get out there and find a nonprofit that could use your help. In 2025, we're beginning the year. We have often a waxing and waning of sometimes a few too many volunteers and something for them to do, and then it falls back when some of those go away. We are looking for drivers right now, volunteer drivers, and we also are in need of some hands-on assistance in our dining area. Mm-hmm. So if you have an interest, want to come in for a couple of hours a week, we would welcome that. Fundraising in 2025 will be hopefully only a couple of campaigns so that we are not out there always asking. But at the same time, I think there's no shame in understanding that the whole purpose of nonprofits is to fill a need that's not being filled elsewhere. And the need still exists. If anything, it exists even more, especially with the rising cost of food and the level of social isolation that this community experiences, the aging community. So support of your local nonprofit is extremely important in 2025.
It really does take a community of volunteers and donors and others to support the vibrant sector that the nonprofit world is and all of the services that are so important to our community.
That's correct. Yeah.
But anyway, it's great. A great suggestion, as always, and a good prognostication. And one of the reasons you're in this morning is to talk about an upcoming event. So why don't we move to that?
Yes. Well, this Saturday, we have been so blessed with Bridges Home, Dave and Tammy Gunter, who have been willing to come in and do a benefit concert for us. So on Saturday, December 21st, from 2 to 4, they will be performing at the Senior Center. We will have enough chairs for somewhere around 80 to 90 folks. Right now, it could even be a little bit of standing room only, depending on what time you get there. So I would encourage you to get there plenty early to get a seat. We'll be serving hot cocoa and cookies and enjoy some holiday music and maybe even a little sing-along at the end.
That's always fun around the holidays. So this Saturday, 2 to 4, Bridges Home.
Correct, okay. At the Senior Center.
And is that it's open to the public, obviously.
Welcome for all ages.
Wider than your normal 60-plus age range.
Yes, okay. Yes, we welcome everyone. In fact, I will say that when we have younger groups come in and either with grandparents or with a relative or to perform or just be engaged in our community at all, it brings a smile to everyone at the Senior Center.
Mm-hmm. And as a benefit concert, are there tickets involved then? Or
no, we've chosen to do donation only. So the concert itself is free, and we welcome you to remember the Senior Center in your giving.
Mm-hmm. Well, very, very nice. So before we close out the show, anything else you'd like to talk about? Any other programs or activities that we've somehow missed, didn't touch on?
You know, I know when I get back to the Senior Center, somebody's going to say, oh, you should have talked
you
should
about should have mentioned, water, right. Water aerobics, ice skating.
Right. But I guess the the only thing I would add, Phil, is that the community, viewing the Senior Center as a community center is my goal. Mm-hmm. So if you can think of any group or any activity that could take place at the Senior Center, and you have ideas for the development of enriching the lives of specifically the aging community, but really our community in general, we welcome your input. And you can call and ask for me at the Senior Center, and I would love to have a conversation with people in the community about what they see as valuable.
Well, there you have it. You're going to have the morning show bump of activity. People are going to be calling after listening to
Perfect.
This.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. I'm there.
Well, if you have just tuned in, as always, this interview will be available as a podcast at krfy.org. You can look for the morning show recorded on December 17th with Lisa Bond from the Sandpoint Area Seniors. I want to thank you for coming on the show this morning, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.